sad and everlasting joy upon their heads. Joy and gladness shall be there.
Shalom, this is Yuval Shomron with another prophetic proof of purchase. Ever since the time of Abraham, a debate has been raging about the inheritance of the promises of God, but perhaps not in the way you think. In fact, if computers had been around in 1000 BC, many websites probably would have controversies about those promises listed under Frequently Asked Questions. Let's read 1 Kings 8, 54-56 as we delve into this discussion. And it came about that when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven, and he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. Remember that by the time of Solomon, already 900 years had passed since God's promises to Abraham. The people of Israel had already abandoned God numerous times, and of course returned to him again and again. God could have easily rejected his chosen people because of their disobedience, but as Solomon mentions in his prayer, not one promise of God failed. The composer Asaph wondered out loud about the question of God's continued favor only a few years before in Psalm 77, 8-9. Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Selah. By the way, the Selah at the end of this paragraph here tells us that the question went unanswered in this particular psalm. The question returned in the mouth of the Apostle Paul after almost another millennia in Romans 11:1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, so there is your answer. The promises to the Jews stand. However, as I said, you might be surprised how most people saw the debate in the years immediately following the resurrection. Let's take a look at Romans 4, 13-16. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be the heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So guess what this means, pastors and teachers? The question being bantered around in the early church was not about the inheritance coming to the Jewish people, but whether or not the Gentiles could partake in those promises. Of course, the happy answer is yes. However, if you will take the time to do an in-depth study of God's promises, I'm talking months, not hours, you will find something very interesting. Almost every promise given to the Jews is repeated somewhere to the believing Gentiles. There is one major exception, the land of Israel. Only God's chosen people, the blood descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are to receive any part of this sacred soil. This is Yuval Shomron in Jerusalem. What's really happening in Israel today? How can you best pray for God's chosen land? How can you visit Israel? Discover the answer to these questions and more at www.highadventure.org or by calling 1-800-517-HOPE. You'll find our two 24/7 radio stations with news, music, and programs direct from Jerusalem. High Adventure Ministries, your expert Israeli connection.